Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm talking to Phil Vitel off the air. I guess we should do it on the air as well.
Focus a little bit.
Phil, welcome to our studio. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. You read him Wednesdays. You can read him online more frequently than that. Bon Appetit has named Chicago as the restaurant city of the year. It was San Francisco. Then it was Washington, D.C. For a few years now, they've been doing this, and now it's our turn. And
it's our turn.
It's not our turn. We earned it, right?
We earned it. This is our neener moment. We get to... As I said when I posted the story online, take that, Sacramento. We don't have to apologize to those guys anymore. We are number one, and we'll be. I don't know. They haven't. Bon App hasn't done this often enough for me to know whether they would ever be a repeat winner.
This is only the third time.
So right. So this is only the third year. So maybe we'll be. We'll hang on to this crown.
Do it because of a couple of shiny stars, or just for the totality of it all?
Well, in the article they wrote in praise of Chicago, they really focused on the newer, very small, very personal restaurants. They were excited about places like Giant. They were excited about Fat Rice, and particularly its new bakery. They were excited about that tiny little Mexican restaurant in Logan Square called Mitocaya. So they, of course, know about Alinea. They, of course, know about the other big dogs in town. But what made Chicago exciting to them was how many of these small and personal and really, really well-focused restaurants this town supports.
What does a small personal restaurant mean?
Place like, well, when the chef has minimal assistance,
How many seats?
Oh, a lot of these places we're talking about have fewer than 35.
Are you kidding? Really?
No. Restaurants such as MFK up on Diversity,
but
they have their
the metropolitan area of 8 million people.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point then of having a restaurant and giving us an award when only 35 or 50 or 75 people can sit there?
Right. If you did it based on the one restaurant, absolutely. But since what I think Bon Appetit is talking about is that this is our scene now. We're opening more places like Giant that has fewer than 35 seats and Mitocaya that has... Yeesh, I'm thinking like about 20-ish seats.
What about Smith and Loyalist? Are they smaller places?
They're not as small. Smith keeps its numbers pretty low, although it's certainly got enough space. They could be a 60-seat restaurant if they want to. I don't think they want to. Downstairs, Loyalist is subterranean, and you probably can pack about 40-something people in there.
Okay, but I like to eat at Lowry's. You can put about 1,400 people in there.
Yeah.
You know, I like to go to Bandera up here. It's nearby. It seems to work for me. They can put over 100 people in there.
Right. The difference is how much can you afford to pay for rent?
Are these that's interesting. But, I mean, are these places all then fairly expensive because they're so exclusive and small?
Actually, no. I think in some cases they've managed to keep prices down, probably because they're not paying as much labor when you have the chef and the owner as one of the people who is actually cooking your food as opposed to directing as a maestro would for the 20 or so minions he has at his disposal, it drives the food cost down.
And is this a new trend in Chicago?
It's relatively new in Chicago. It has been state of the art in New York City for a while now. It's what you see more often than not in San Francisco and Tokyo.
What are some of the equivalents then that I've heard of in New York? I know some of those restaurant names. Maybe San Francisco would resonate with our listeners. What are their equivalents that we're talking about?
I'm blanking on the. It'll come to me in a second. I was thinking Cosme in New York is not an especially big place. Alex Stupak's restaurant in New York is really tiny, and my apologies to Mr. Stupak because his name of his restaurant has just jumped out of my head.
But it's a way to make a name, huh? Do it well. Keep it small. You don't have to multiply it by five.
One thing that helps a lot now than wasn't true 20 years ago, you open a restaurant 20 years ago and you wait for word of mouth and people kind of find out about you and then you get a few more people and in the fullness of 3-4 months, the critic finally shows up and says something nice about you and then you're on your way. Now you open up and somebody has yelped a review while you're still hanging the drapes. So for better or worse, people find out about you immediately.
Does it work both ways? Do you know that
absolutely.
You're going to be a flop quicker maybe now as a result
it
as
could
well?
Be. A couple of early online reports can be more devastating.
What do you make about that?
Well, it's the marketplace of ideas. It can be there are good aspects to it. There are aspects that trouble me, but it's reality.
Maybe it's not fair. Maybe they're just working out the kinks. Maybe their competition posted the Yelp review.
Oh yes, I online reviews that are anonymous drive me out of my mind.
Because it threatens you.
No, it doesn't. I don't think it does because they know who I am and I've been doing this for a long time. And if they don't like what I wrote, that's pretty easy to find on the phone or on email. And say,
everybody recognize you when you walk in?
No. I'm still doing okay on that, although if it's an important downtown place, yeah, as soon as I hit the door, it's, you know, the Pope is here.
I notice your avatar, though, doesn't have your picture on it.
No.
I thought, well, okay, some do that, some don't. At some point, some of them just say, oh, who are we kidding here, and they come out, as
quite a few have done that.
But you're still a little bit under that radar.
I've resisted for two reasons. One, it's a bell you can't unring. If I do it and it doesn't work out, I can't go, you know what, I'm anonymous. Forget everything I said before and burn those pictures. Two, even when I'm recognized, when I walk in the door, and if I've done my prep work right, I haven't used my name when I made the reservation or anything like that, so they know I'm here only because I'm here. The owner can't run out and retrain the staff, can't send out for better veal, can't remake his stock, so the food is what it's going to be. And the fact that I'm trying to remain anonymous, even in those instances where I fail, I think still puts up that arm's length, leave me alone sort of thing. Whereas,
do you order more than one entree?
Not if I'm eating by myself.
Yeah, right. Do some of them? I mean, you know, maybe you could, you know, kill two birds with one stone. I'll have the steak and the fish.
I would think that would be so crazy obvious that you wouldn't want to do that. But plus, I don't know that no one does.
And maybe it's hard to know if that's not how people eat. If you want to have an experience for the potential for the reader, maybe it's not fair to judge the steak and the fish at the same time.
Possibly not. Yeah. Although, in that case, you're probably eating a third of the fish and a third of the steak. And the nice thing about steak is after two bites, you sort of get it.
It's not going to evolve.
It's not a bottle of fine, rare wine that's going to open up in the next 40 minutes or so. You've had your bites, you're done.
What are some of the bigger restaurants that you're enjoying in Chicago right now? These are the small ones, and that seemed to be really what won us this Bon Appetit Best Restaurant in the Country Award.
Right. Well, there's place that opened. I'm trying to think of a place I've been to that's pretty large. I'm still amazed at how many good steakhouses we have. I still can't believe that. I keep thinking one is eventually going to open and no one's going to show up because we have too many steak restaurants. But it doesn't happen. And places such as Maple and Ash and Swift and Sons are just extraordinary in how they execute what they execute. And then you get Giuseppe Tintori opening up his place called GT Steak, which does not do large steaks, but does very small portions.
Oh, really?
Of steak.
Boy, that's a nod. That's a nod. You know, it's funny because I love going to these steak places. Steve and I went to one recently. Steve, what was the name of the place that you and I went to? I'm not sure if he's dialed in now. He's getting ready for the next newscast. Steve and I went with somebody to. Steve, what was the name of the steak restaurant you and I went to the other day?
Maestro?
Maestro, sure.
Yeah. And it was terrific. Big old honking.
Right, doorstops.
But I know that, and it's funny because everybody seems to do it that way, and it's always good. It's a really seared, beautiful steak the size of a doorstop, and then a baked potato from Mars, and, you know, really large. The desserts are overwhelming. The cocktails were good. We had a nice time there.
Yeah.
But I've often wondered, is there ever a way to eat at a steakhouse and not feel terrible the next day?
Yeah, actually, there are places that are doing smaller steaks and starting to get an audience for that because again the default is if this piece of meat is not larger than my head I'm being ripped off somehow.
Well, especially for what you pay for it.
Right. Well, some of these aren't. What Giuseppe Tintori is doing at GT Prime is he's using very carefully trimmed pieces of meat and he sells them in 4 or 8 ounce portions. And you think, a 4 ounce steak, are you kidding me? But when you realize this is a steak bereft of excess fat that has no bone on it, that is nothing but pure, absolute beauty, bite after bite, you know, 4 ounces is hate to say it, what the nation's dietitians say is what we're right. supposed to be doing for a meal.
Don't say that. I'll have that stricken from the records of this show.
But the other, one of the things he does is he'll have different cuts of meat and even different animals. He'll have venison and he'll have a buffalo. And so what you can do is you can do 4 ounces of this one and 4 ounces of that one and make yourself a little 12-ounce sample plate.
Oh, nice.
Have 3 animals on a plate and you're still not eating a grotesque amount of beef.
Like a flight of whiskeys, only in this
case.
It's
yes.
animals. And what's the name of that place you're talking about?
GT Prime.
GT Prime. That's downtown?
Yep.
Just real quick, then, let's touch bases on these one more time, Phil. Giant, you like?
I love Giant.
And what's the cuisine there?
Well, the guys there at Giant, they defy easy generalizations. He'll do a couple of pastas. He'll do a chicken here. I guess you'd call it American, but it's really everything that occurs to him, and the flavors are bold. And he does a tortellini, which is supposed to have a specific shape, but he noticed in making it when he rolls out the pasta and cuts out that shape, he has all this pasta dough that's going to get wasted. He didn't want to do that, so he came up with a design that uses more of it, but it's not really strictly tortellini anymore. So it's on the menu and it's called sortellini.
it's sort of like tortellini.
Right? But he's not lying to you, and he's giving you a really good pasta dish.
Meat tacoya, that's Spanish-inspired food or Mexican?
No, Mexican.
Mexican food?
Diana Davila is a young chef who's doing terrific work in a very, very intimate restaurant.
Elsk?
Elske, yes. It's the Danish word for love.
So Danish food?
No, it's not. It goes really from, it takes its name really from a Danish sense of hospitality. The chef is originally from Denmark, but he went to his family, his people are, and he would go there all the time. And it's David Posey and his wife Anna. He proposed to her in Denmark, and now they use the word love because they're working side by side and creating really fun food. He was, for a while, the head chef at Blackbird.
Hmm. So what am I going to get when I go there? American?
It'll be creative food. There'll be all kinds of different influences. One of the things we're finding in the last couple, 3 years is that regional and national labels are falling off restaurants as though we had just sticky noted them on the outside of the door.
And you may not like that, and I'll bet they like it even less. That is, don't worry about the label. It's a good restaurant. And maybe it's one, you know, influence or another, but don't worry too much about what am I going to see.
Right.
Just go to the place.
Chefs hate the question, what would you call your food? And they go, they take a
I
deep breath and they don't want to do that. But they, you know, Elski, is it this? Is it that? Is David Posey and Anna Posey, and it's their food. And that's why we're finding a lot of restaurants coming up that are so intimate, because this is food. This is an expression of what this particular chef or chefs feel is vital and delicious and honest, and that's what they cook.
Phil Vitale posts tomorrow. We read you in the Tribune on Wednesday, right?
Please do.
Yeah, thanks for coming down.
My pleasure.
Bon Appetit said, best restaurant city in America. Those are some of the reasons why.